Thank you, Ryan. I love that guy, and he's much too humble to tell you that that song that he wrote has been picked up by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and it's the new title cut on their new CD that comes out in 2 weeks. And they've already pre-sold 200,000 CDs. And God is using Ryan as a songwriter, and he's really been blessed. And we've been blessed through him. If you ever want to hear him lead worship, he has an anointing to do that. That's a good thing when you're a worship leader to have the anointing to do it. But we have a meeting every Thursday night, and I'm Ben Mandrell was preaching for us, and now I'm going to be doing it on Thursday nights, rather, called I2. It's at 7 o'clock. It's for people who are 18 to 29. Ryan leads the worship, and I'll be doing the preaching. It starts, I guess, tomorrow night, Thursday night. So if you'd like to come, you just go about an hour west. When you get to the crosses, turn in, and that's us, all right? I was talking to Dr. Dockery about what I was going to preach, and he said, well, you know, the guy that was here last week preached out of the same text. But I have never preached this sermon before in my life, but I prayed about it, and I know that I'm supposed to preach just the same place that the pastor did last week, and it's out of Jeremiah 20. So if you have Jeremiah 20 in your Bible, turn with me. Now, he preached on depression. I want to preach on persecution, a little bit different angle out of the same text. The Christian life is wonderful. There's abundant joy. There's abundant life, joy inexpressible, full of glory. Psalmist was right when he said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then one of these days I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I thank God for victory, and I thank the Lord for all the good things that are in the Christian life. And I was talking to Dr. Dockery before we came in, and I just can't imagine. I came here 29 years ago, and so many good things have happened in my life since I came to Union University. I was saved up at UT Martin where I was playing football, and came down here, and I met so many people, and God's blessed me in so many ways, and a lot of it is through this university. But I want to make a statement to you that this may, this point in your life, you may just have to tuck this one away in your memory bank and recall this down the road. But I want to guarantee you something. If you live for Jesus long enough, and if you love the Lord enough, and if you believe the Bible enough, and if you do the will of God long enough, somewhere down the road, you're going to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it won't be because you picked a fight. It won't be because you were obnoxious. It won't be because really you did anything. It's just going to be because that just happens to folks who love the Lord. And you say, well, I've never been persecuted. Well, hang in there. It's coming. You say, well, I appreciate you blessing us with that, preacher. I appreciate you bringing that word. But I'm telling you, it will come. I read a Presbyterian preacher this week who wrote, although God is never the author of persecution, because he is not the author of evil, God may permit persecution in accordance with his purposes. When we're persecuted for our faith, we have one of two choices, either to shrivel up and deny our Lord, or to turn our eyes once again to our majestic Savior and his word. And I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I choose the latter option, not to shrivel up and to deny Jesus, but to draw closer to him. When you go through persecution, you need to cling to the Lord like you never have before and find out he's clinging to you as well. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. If you don't know him, I think all of you would know who he is a little bit, but he's become a friend of mine through the years. His name's Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born in the small town of Anathoth, just northeast of Jerusalem. He was a PK. He was born into the house of a priest. He was probably called to be a prophet when he was just a teenager. He would know that he was young. And the Lord never allowed him to marry. He was a single all of his life. And he had a lonely life in a lot of ways, and yet he experienced the depths of God in ways that a lot of people may never experience because they don't go where he had to go. God had a unique place for him in history. In fact, he was called to be a prophet from his mother's womb, a prophet to the nations. And he started off his ministry. He went all the way through the reign of righteous Josiah, and he was even there in 587 BC when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem, wiped out the temple. And some people say he died in exile or taken captive to Egypt by some of the rebels. We don't really know. But he, in nowadays, you know, he really wouldn't be considered very much of a success
because for 40 years or so that he preached, he really didn't have many, if any, converts. And a lot of missionary agencies wouldn't even support a guy like that, because unless you produce, they won't even let the money continue. But Jeremiah was a faithful man of God. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, we see his heart. We see something that's going on in his life. He's been persecuted so much. And yet, in the middle of this, there's great joy and there's great depression right in the middle of it, like Dr. Smith talked about last week. But I want to talk to you about understanding persecution. What in the world can we get out of persecution? You say, Brother Steve, I don't know that I really want to hear this. Well, again, it may not be for this season in your life, but I promise you, if you keep living for Jesus, you're going to need to think about Jeremiah chapter 20. What happens when we get persecuted? Look there in your Bibles. First of all, I just want to say that this text assures us once again that persecution will come to the people of God. It will come to the people of God. Look at verses 1 and 2. When Pashur the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put him in the stocks that were at the upper Benjamin gate, which was by the house of the Lord. Now Pashur was one of 24 chief officers there in Jerusalem at the Jewish temple. And this man, when he heard Jeremiah preaching, saying, the Babylonians are going to come in here, they're going to destroy this place, it is doomed, the temple's going down, unless we repent and radically get right with God, this place is toast. Now that's the Gaines version of it, all right? And they got so mad, Pashur got so mad, he has him arrested, he's beaten, and he's put out there in public display and ridicule, and he's out there in the stocks. Here's the prophet of God. He didn't do anything except preach for God, and now he is in trouble. You say, Brother Steve, can that happen to us? Sure it can. Sure it can. Dr. Guthrie's bringing in a friend of his from China just this next week. That's persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you, you don't have to be in China to be persecuted. It's going to happen to anybody who lives for the Lord Jesus sincerely enough. Jesus said it would be that way in John 15. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of that, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said, a slave is not greater than his master. Listen, Jesus says this, if they persecuted me, listen, they will also persecute you. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. John 16, 33. When Paul and Barnabas were on one of their missionary journeys, they said to a group of disciples, indeed, it says, through many hardships, we must enter the kingdom of God. We've got to go through hardships. And the verse I was about to quote there, Paul wrote to his favorite preacher boy, Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, indeed, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So just put it down plain and simple. One of these days, if you live for Jesus long enough, somebody is going to come against you. You didn't do anything to them. You hadn't done anything against God, but all of a sudden you're being attacked. And a lot of it may be innuendos and lies and speculations and all this other stuff. And you say, what's up with this? I'll tell you what's up with this. It happens. God allows it to happen to every believer. But the second thing I learned in this text is this. Not only does persecution come to God's people, but persecution provides a platform for proclamation. When you get persecuted, you end up having the opportunity to witness to people that otherwise you never would have come in contact with. Notice what happens here. In Jeremiah's life, verses 3 through 6. On the next day when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, Pashur is not the name the Lord has called you, but rather Magor-Missabib. You say, do you know how to pronounce that? No, I just say it quickly and confidently. You don't know the difference. Amen. Look at verse 4. For thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and while your eyes are looking on, your friends will fall by the sword of their enemies. So I will give over all of Judah to the hand of the king of Babylon. He keeps on preaching the same thing. He will carry them away as exiles over the to Babylon and will slay them with the sword. I will also give over all the wealth of the city, all its produce, all its costly things, even the treasures of the kings of Judah, I will give over to the hands of their enemies. And they will plunder them, take them away, and bring them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house, your family, will go into captivity. You will enter Babylon, and there you will die. There you will be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have falsely prophesied. Now here's a guy that's been beaten, he's been in prison, and now he's released from prison. Does he stop preaching? Absolutely not. In fact, he brings a very bold message to the man who persecuted him. And he said, God's going to give you a name change. The name Pashur means largeness on every side. But the new name, Magor Missabib, means terror on every side. You're going to go from largeness on every side to terror on every side because you have resisted Jehovah God. And you've even persecuted his preacher. And even though this man was a very important person in the temple, Jeremiah said, you're going down. You and your people, you're going down. Your whole family is going to be affected. All your friends, all these people you've lied to, you're all going down because God is speaking a word, and it's not through you, Pastor. It's through me. And he got to witness to a man that he probably never would have known had he not been persecuted. I think about John the Baptist. He never would have been able to witness to King Herod if he hadn't rebuked King Herod about taking his brother Philip's wife and been in prison. And think about Paul. I was just preaching last week on household salvation. He got to lead a whole family to Christ, the Philippian jailer and his family, but he never would have met that man had he not been arrested and imprisoned at Philippi. Paul would have never been able to talk to Felix and Festus at Caesarea by the sea if he hadn't been arrested and been in prison. Paul would have never gotten to talk to the people he got to talk to at Rome. He talks about how he witnessed to the Praetorian Guard. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Now there's a guy with a great attitude. I've been arrested, but guess what? It's turning out good because the gospel is progressing. He says, "So that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." What's he saying? He said, one day he woke up and he said, "You know, I'm chained to this Roman soldier, but he's chained to me." And all of a sudden he realized, I can witness this guy and he can't get away. And so he starts just telling this guy, and I can just see him say, "It's time to switch prisoners here." And he gets witnessed to, and then this one gets it. And all of a sudden, the whole Praetorian Guard knows about Jesus. Why? You got this guy in there that will not give up, won't shut up, won't back down. Why? He's being persecuted, but he realized, I've got an opportunity to witness to all these Roman soldiers. Don't you see that God is so big, he can even take persecution? Put you in front of people that you never would have had contact with otherwise. God is a good God. God's a good God, even in persecution. Persecution provides a platform for proclamation. Third thing in this text is this: persecution, and this is what the pastor talked about last week, results in the pain of discouragement. There's no pain. There's no discouragement like that which comes from persecution. When you're persecuted for the sake of Christ, you didn't do anything, but you're being lied about and you're being talked about. Notice, this is a real man. Look at verses 7 and 8. "Oh Lord, you've deceived me. I was deceived. You've overcame me." You know what he's saying? "Lord, you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. You have overcome me and prevailed. I've become a laughing stock all day long. Lord, everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction." He didn't know what seeker friendly was about. He had a hard word. "Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long." Look at verses 14 through 18. "Cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, 'A baby boy has been born to you,' and made my father very happy. But let that man be like the cities of which the Lord overthrew without relenting. And let him hear an outcry in the morning and a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before my birth, so that my mother would have been my grave and her womb ever pregnant. Why did I ever come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame?" Jeremiah was a real human being with real feelings. He was not always on the mountaintop. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. We're not supposed to always be, "Well, praise God. Well, bubbly, bubbly this. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." Sometimes you go through valleys. Sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes all you can do is lift your hands and say, "God, help." No one likes to be talked about. No one enjoys ridicule. Somebody may say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." That's simply not true. Words do hurt. And once you say them, you can't call them back. When people accuse you falsely, when they make inaccurate insinuations against you with an agenda, questioning your integrity, and they just plain lie about you, it hurts. David knew about that. King David said in Psalm 69, "Save me, O God. I've sunk deep in the mire. I'm in deep waters. A flood overflows me. I'm crying, Lord. My throat is parched. My eyes fail." What's wrong, David? "Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. I have borne reproach. I have dishonor. Everybody talks about me. I am the song of the drunkards. Even the alcoholics laugh at me." David knew what that was like, and he was the greatest king in Israel's history. Jeremiah knew what it was like. Like Jesus, Jeremiah was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And there's no pain like pain that comes from persecution. So I just want to tell you, it's coming. There's going to come a day in your life where you say, "I didn't get in it for this." But stick around. There's some more points. Fourth thing, persecution is, and even the pain of persecution, is overcome by God's power. Now, I love verse 9. And I get a little passionate sometimes when I preach. I might have a spell up here talking about verse 9, all right? So look at verse 9. "But if I say, I will not remember him." In other words, if I say I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, if I say, okay, I quit. I'm getting out of the ministry. I'm going to sell insurance. I'm going to sell cars. I quit. "If I say I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I can't endure it." In other words, I can't stop preaching. The fire of God's still in me. The power of God through the Holy Spirit of God said, "Jeremiah, don't you quit. You stay in there. Even if you're depressed, even if you're discouraged, even if you're persecuted, you keep right on preaching the Word of God." Just when he thought he could bear it no more, the power of God rose up in him. And I want to tell you something. God may sometimes seem like he's not coming through for you, but just when you need him most, Jesus is there. Just when you need him, he will rise up within you with the power of the Holy Spirit and enable you to go forward. When you don't have any strength, God will be your strength. Amos knew about that fire. He said in Amos chapter 3, verse 8, "A lion has roared. Who cannot fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Paul knew about that fire. He said, "If I preach the gospel," 1 Corinthians 9:16, "I have nothing to boast of. I'm under compulsion." That word means I'm agitated. He said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." Paul, you're being beaten. You're being stoned. You've been shipwrecked. Why do you keep preaching? "I do all things for the sake of the gospel." Why? Because I'm agitated. I'm compelled by the power of God. And you understand the power of God at a different level when God takes you through persecution. There's another thing about persecution. Persecution ushers in God's presence. Not only do you experience his power, but you experience a new dimension of the presence of God. Look at verses 10 through 11. In verse 10, he's talking about all the problems he has. He says, "For I've heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him." Yes, let's denounce Jeremiah. "All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him." Look at the first part of verse 11. "But the Lord is with me like a dread companion and champion." He said, in the middle of all this, God is with me. The first scripture I memorized after I got saved up at UT Martin was Psalm 23. And I memorized it, and I memorized it, and I memorized it, and I quoted it and quoted it and quoted it. One day, though, a few years ago, it dawned on me something happened. I was going through verse 4, and I saw a change in these pronouns. Watch this. David is going on, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Then he gets to verse 4. Now watch the change. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me." It's not right, is it? "For what? Thou art with me." Do you see the change? He. Now I'm in the valley. Thou. What happens? When you're going through discouragement, when you're going through depression, when you're going through persecution, you quit talking about God and you start talking to God. You stop singing about God and you start singing to God. Even if the hymn is directed to about God, you start changing the pronouns even in the hymn and the praise service, and you're singing to God. Why? Because you get to feel His presence. You get to not just feel His presence, but to experience His presence at a different level than you've ever known before. Persecution ushers in God's presence. And then number six, persecution ushers in God's vengeance. I want to tell you something. We don't take vengeance upon ourselves, but God, can I just say it, in a, hopefully you'll understand, you don't mess with God's people. You don't do it. God says, do not touch my anointed ones. That's the people of God. And do my prophets no harm. That's the leaders of God's people. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you're living for Jesus Christ, and somebody comes against you, don't get mad at them. Pity them. What did Moses do? He fell on his face when people would come against him. You know why? He knew that God was going to do something horrible to these people if they didn't straighten up. Do you believe that? Now, this is what the Bible says. Look at verses 11 through 12. Last part of verse 11. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. Yet, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous, you who see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have set forth my cause. He knew that God was going to deal with his enemies. David knew that. David knew that God had dealt with Goliath. David had the enemy of King Saul. He even had his own son, Absalom, rise up against him. And David said in Psalm 18, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me, subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. You don't have to defend yourself. God will take care of it. Abraham Lincoln said, never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty, and the pig likes it. Persecution ushers in God's vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And there's one more thing. Persecution provides an opportunity for praise. You get a chance to praise God in the dungeon at Philippi. You get a chance to praise God in the well with Jeremiah. You get a chance to praise God in the amphitheater with the early Christians. You get a chance, you get this opportunity all of a sudden to praise God with the disciples who've been beaten, who rejoiced that they've been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name in Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 13. He breaks out in the middle of all this depression. He said, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the needy one from the hand of the evildoers. What did Jesus say do in the Beatitudes? He said, blessed are those who've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice! Be glad! For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. John Wesley was riding out on a horse one day. And it dawned on him that for 3 days he hadn't been persecuted. He gets off the horse. He gets on his knees and says, oh God, what have I done? What sin is in my life? I haven't been persecuted for 3 days. A rogue hears him behind the bush, figures it out. It's that Methodist preacher, picks up a brick, throws it at Wesley's head, barely misses him. The brick lands. Wesley gets up and says, hallelujah, I'm in fellowship with God. We don't know anything about that, do we? One of my favorite hymn writers was a man who was persecuted in England. His daddy was arrested, Isaac Watts. He was a preacher and a hymn writer. I leave you with this. The words of Isaac Watts. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush or speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. I'll endure the pain supported by your word. Your saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though we die. That we shall see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. And when that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. If I say, I will no longer remember him or speak anymore in His name. And in my heart, it becomes like a fire in my bones. I cannot keep silent. One of these days, it'll come to you. And when it does, just say, hallelujah. Christ is Lord, even during persecution. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would store this as a precious promise in every heart in this room. And one day, when persecution comes, not if, but when, that they'd turn back to Jeremiah 20. And like Job, say, Lord, I've heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees Thee. Nothing like experiencing what we read about, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that You'll take them through the fire and show them that though they walk through the fire, they will not be burned. Though they walk through the flood, they will not be overwhelmed. Thank You that, Lord, You made Jeremiah a fortified wall of bronze to this people. And though they fought against him, they did not prevail over him. For You were with him to save him, to deliver him. You delivered him from the hand of the wicked. You delivered him from the grasp of the violent. Bless this university. Thank You for precious David Dockery, Lord. Thank You for Todd. Thank You for George. Thank You for all the leaders here, God. God, I pray Your anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, would rest upon this university. Bless every professor. Bless every student. And God, as I prayed for years, Lord, send revival on this campus. God, I pray that Your people called by Your name at Union University, that we will humble ourselves, pray, seek Your face, turn from any wicked way we might have, and that You will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Bless these students today. Help them to walk with You. And I pray that they'll become good friends with You and with Your man, Jeremiah, in Jesus' name. Amen.